know all this basketball talk. Who are these people you're talking to? Coach K and Patino. I'm just great times again on Rocky Top. You put the letters up on top of the stadium. It's just, it's fantastic.
Greg Fogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio.
When it comes to the college football playoff, he's for exclusion, not inclusion. It's Bill King.
Mike Griffith, AJC's Dog Nation, typically with us on Tuesdays. We got him this week on Wednesday. Griff, the number one request for you at the moment is have him talk about his Twitter back and forth with Adam Rittenberg. What was going on there?
Well, Bill, I think there were a lot of people that saw the SEC's decision to stay at eight games as an opportunity to criticize the league, and I didn't really understand that because it's not like the SEC changed anything. They didn't move forward with nine games, but it's not like they stepped back and went to seven conference games. And I thought it was really curious that Adam, and I've known Adam a long time, and he's awesome, but he covers the Big Ten primarily. And he felt like that the SEC fans were getting short shrifted and that somehow the SEC becomes more, I don't know, maybe not as worthy playing eight games. And I just pointed out to Adam that the SEC is 14-3 against other conferences in the college football playoffs. I think they're obviously 3-3 against themselves, so I'm going to count that. But when SEC teams play other conference teams in the playoffs, they're 14-3. And that's a really dominant mark. And so I thought that his criticism was off base. I also pointed out that while the SEC does only play eight conference games and the Big Ten plays nine, that the SEC championship game is far more compelling, to the point that the Big Ten East Division has won nine straight games over the Big Ten West Division in the Big Ten title game. And the last five, there's been an average victory margin of over 21 points. I mean, Michigan had to beat Purdue to go to the college football playoff. It's different than Georgia having to beat LSU or Georgia and Alabama and their slugfest in the SEC championship game. So I just put all that into perspective and felt like I pointed out that the SEC, more than holds its own. I don't think it's a step back. I think it's a step to the side. And I think it was motivated by finances in terms of why they put the expanded schedule on hold for now.
Griff, eight games still, but a 1-7 format. Now, I did hear the commissioner say they would try and preserve, and it's just a one-year deal, matchups that might look to be eliminated because you don't have but one permanent opponent. How do you think that's going to look once we get it here in about a week or so? We're going to get the release on the SEC Network.
Well, I don't think it'll look too extremely different. In terms of, I think, a lot of the natural rivalries will be protected. So will the secondary rivalries. I'll be curious to see if Tennessee and Alabama still play, because Nick Saban made it really clear that part of the reason why I think Alabama didn't vote for the expansion of nine games was because Saban didn't like LSU, Auburn, and Tennessee being his three teams. So I would think they would try to protect Tennessee, Alabama, but Saban's put his foot down, and clearly Alabama and Auburn will still play. I think Georgia and Auburn still want to play. At least Georgia still wants to play Auburn. I don't know if the feeling's mutual. I would think Tennessee wants to continue to play Alabama. They stuck it out all those years, even when Alabama was good. It's interesting now that Tennessee's really good that all of a sudden, Saban's got a problem playing. I thought that was pretty interesting. But look, it's like Kirby Smart said, it doesn't really make a difference. You're going to play everybody over 2 years anyway. When you play the 1-7 format or the 3-6, the way the schedule is going to rotate, to me it's more of made with that than probably needed to be made of that.
Mike Griffith, AJC's Dog Nation. Now, it's just a one-year deal. I'm convinced they're going to go to nine games in 25, I guess we're talking about. Griff, why the 1 year? Why table it for 1 year if eventually you are going to nine games?
Because you need money. One, two, you've got games already scheduled for 2024 that you would have had to buy out. 38 of them. 38 games would have needed to be bought out over these next 2 years. And when you buy out a game, that costs money. I would say probably about an average of $1 million per buyout. So you're basically just asking SEC schools to spend $38 million to add another SEC game with no reward for that. Now, if the contract was renewed by ESPN at a much higher rate and the schools were going to get a bigger piece of revenue in terms of the revenue sharing model, then they could use some of that revenue to buy out the games. But as it stands, it's not in the budget for them to be spending money on buying out games. They're trying to give coaches monster raises. They're trying to come up with NIL money, not just for their primary revenue-producing sports, but their non-revenue sports. They're trying to enhance facilities for the student-athletes. They're trying to enhance academic learning centers, pay for tutors to help student-athletes. But that money, where does that money come from? So I think that's why it didn't happen, because I think ESPN basically said, and I can't speak for ESPN, but what we were gathering was that ESPN is in a lot of contract talks for a lot of sports right now. And I think it's been pretty publicized that they've had to reduce some personnel. Nobody in the media industry is surprised by any of this. And so maybe they're not in a position to give the SEC more money right now. Even though they may want to, they might say, hey, you know what, let's stick with eight. We're not in a position to, you know, throw another $200 million at you.
No, I was talking about it. They don't want to stress it, at least the commissioner doesn't, but it's about the money, right? It's all about the money, and right now ESPN is not prepared to give them more money for a ninth game. Now, Griff, every other year, another SEC game, just in ticket sales and attendance revenue and everything at a home game, is probably worth $10 million, right? That one game.
Well,
to some schools, not Vanderbilt.
Probably more like four or five, but if you really want to count what it means to the community, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I think, you know, for example, the Georgia-Florida game and what it means to Jacksonville, you're looking at a $45 million economic impact for the city of Jacksonville. I mean, that's, you know, and that's why I've made the argument, you know, for Georgia that they need to have it in their home state, because that's Georgia money that's being pumped into Florida. And I guess some of the southern Georgia islands as well, you know, get that. But the community of Athens, Georgia, doesn't get it. And obviously that would be a boon to their infrastructure in terms of their tax base and schools and libraries and parks and how you pay your civic workers. To me, that's sad for Georgia, but it's great for Jacksonville. It's great for Gainesville. Gainesville's 60 miles from there. They benefit. You know, Georgia's 340 miles from Jacksonville, 340 miles away, and Gainesville's 60. Here's a fun fact. Gainesville's closer to Atlanta than Athens is close to Jacksonville. But nobody talks about that. So anyway, that's kind of a moot point. Getting back to your point, yes, it's a lot of money. There's a lot of value to these games. But if you add eight, if you add another conference game, like Sam Pittman said, you're adding eight more losses to the conference. And then the question becomes, how do the SEC teams' losses compare to other schools when we go to this 12-team playoff? For example, does a three-loss Auburn get in the playoff if two of their losses are to Alabama and Georgia? Maybe they slip up one other time. You know, versus a two-loss Ohio State that plays Michigan and, I don't know, the other 11 dwarves or whatever.
Yeah. Jeff Tuce says, ask Griff about the coaches, SEC coaches, in Washington, D.C. today, and the possible unionization in the future. And they're trying to get uniformity when it comes to name, image, likeness rules, and they're trying to get Congress to do this, which, by the way, I'm totally against, but they're up there, and that's what they want.
Well, the reason I think they're asking for congressional intervention is because a lot of these states are racing ahead and making their own laws.
Correct.
And they're not the same laws. And so, is that responsible? I don't know. I'm sure there's some really well-meaning lawmakers who may recognize an opportunity to gain favor with voters by helping state you out, you know, with more liberal NIL laws that would put their state at an advantage to maybe a neighboring state, perhaps to help them recruit players to play high school football there. I don't know that I think that's healthy, but I think lawmakers are already involved. I think politicians are already involved. That was probably crossing a line. I think you can look in the state of Tennessee and look at some of the things Tennessee's done to gain an advantage. Does that mean Tennessee's bad? No. Tennessee policymakers, lawmakers trying to help Tennessee. But that's not good for the SEC, because what Tennessee's doing may not be what Georgia's doing or what Alabama's doing or what South Carolina's doing or what Kentucky's doing. And so you don't have any uniformity at all. So now it's like, all right, look, this thing's getting out of control. You know, so there does need to be some degree of standardization or uniformity, I think, across the league. No, they're not all going to be balanced in the end. It's never going to be equal. Vanderbilt's never going to be on a level with Alabama in football. They just simply don't have the resources and, quite frankly, don't really care to invest the resources. They've got other things going on there, you know, fantastic hospital and academics, different topic, different day. But point is, I think they do want some uniformity in some of the laws, codes, guardrails. And so this is their plea to Congress, you know, to help them out. So I don't know how that looks or how that ends, but at least it's an effort, and it's a logical effort to grow there together, unified, the five or six schools that are going there, you know, to try to represent the SEC and say, hey, we want to try to get this fixed.
Georgia Dog down in the Emerald Coast, ask Griff if this is the best receiving corps at Georgia you have covered since you've been there.
Well, it's too soon to say. Based on what I saw in the spring, I don't think so. Not yet. I need to see more. I think those freshmen are huge upside, but I didn't see enough in the G-Day game to come to any conclusions about the incoming freshmen and the potential impact they can make. I think Brock Bowers being a part of it is huge. I think he is a dynamic. He's one of the best players I've covered, period, in 30 years. In terms of game-changing players, I'm amazed he doesn't get more credit or recognition. I guess some people may prejudge. I'm not sure, but he's unbelievable. I mean, he's every bit as dynamic at the collegiate level as Travis Kelce is in the NFL. Now, does that transition when Brock goes to the NFL? I don't know that, but in the college sport, he's an amazing athlete with an unbelievable catch radius. He absolutely was the most valuable player on the last two Georgia offensives. I don't think they win either national championship without Brock Bowers. He's irreplaceable. He's the first guy every opposing team looks to stop. He's considered a tight end, but I would consider him part of the receiving core. I like Lovett from Missouri. I think he's really good. I think you lose something with Darnell moving on. I think you lose something with Kenny McIntosh, kind of their Marshall Faulk last year. He did so many different things. Another guy that really didn't get the credit or the recognition that he deserved. A lot of people like to talk about quarterbacks. I get that. But they really overlooked some special support guys, Brock and Kenny being two of them. As far as the other receivers, Ladd McConkey is really good. I mean, he's legit. He'll go in the top three rounds of the NFL draft next year if he stays healthy. He's fast. He's efficient. Takes the top off. But I'm not ready to say that's the best I've seen, because they had a, you know, George Pickens was pretty special when he was healthy. And he was on the field the same time as Lawrence Cager, who was also pretty dynamic while he was at Georgia. So not ready to say that yet. I'd say the potential's there, but I'm not ready to make that conclusion yet.
Griff, complicated topic, and we're only down to, 2 minutes? But California is about to pass a law in the state that says the colleges have to pay players some revenue that they make. And they're saying they would cap it at $25,000. Everybody, student athlete, male, female, all sports, would get about $25,000. And they're about to pass that as a law in the state of California. My question is, could something like that be a domino effect throughout the country where other states, including in the South, would feel pressured to do the same thing?
I don't think so. I think we draw the line for the most part, in the Southeast. I think that our tax model is different. I think if we were to compare the amount of taxes they pay in the state of California to the amount of taxes that we've been asked to pay in Tennessee or Florida or Alabama or maybe even Georgia, it's a different model. California is very progressive in many ways. Take that as you will. I think we would draw the line with that. I think that our politics, personally, it's me speaking, I really hate to get into politics. I'll just say we have a different model down here. And I think at some point you draw the line. And when you start getting into everyday citizens' pockets, I think you're going too far. When you start asking people who may not follow college sports or have an interest or agree with this model to start paying some of their tax dollars, I think even the most steadfast fan would say, whoa, wait a minute. You know, if I choose to donate to the school, that's one thing. But if you're going to try to use my tax dollars for that, I think at some point, Bill, you know, if you want to make me pay for this cable channel, that's okay. If you want to ask me to donate or pay for season tickets, but if you're going to start trying to use my tax dollars for that, I just don't think that people in our area of the country will go for that.
Mike, we'll see you next week. Thank you.
All right, Bill.
Mike Griffin, he's on vacation. That's why we didn't get him yesterday. Anyways, always a pleasure to talk to you. He wasn't overly animated. We've seen him more animated than that, but he wasn't subdued either. It's pretty good. Omni Nashville Hotel.